welcome to the Hope Vineyard Podcast. For more information, go to www.hopevineyardchurch.us.
Good morning. Hey, you know, the Lord loves people who come to church on holiday weekends. There's like extra rewards for you in heaven, I believe. I think that's the word that he gave me this morning. So feel good about that. Yeah, you know, you don't have to be out at the lake or, you know, camping or doing anything like that. You're here. And we're just really grateful, actually, that you are, that you've chosen to be here this morning. We're in this series that we've called Snapshots of the Kingdom. We're continuing that today. And we're looking at Matthew's gospel, specifically chapter 13 of Matthew's gospel, where we see nine different parables, stories that Jesus told in the course of one day, where he gets in a boat, he starts preaching to the crowds that have been following him all around, and they're coming, they're listening to him. He tells all these stories about the kingdom of God. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the parable of the sower, where we were encouraged to see the kingdom, that it has come, but it's not always received by people, right? There's different levels of receptance. Some people eagerly receive it, others not so eagerly, and depending on how rooted you are, the soil of your heart, oftentimes you have ears to hear and eyes to see what the kingdom's about. But we were encouraged in that message that we should be people who are generous in how we sow the kingdom, how we serve others, how we love others, that it's not up to us to discern what kind of soil there is, what kind of receptivity there is. It's up to us to simply be people who give the love of God away. And so that's what we've been looking at so far. Last week, we looked at the parables of the weeds and the wheat, weeds and the nets. And we learned that we're not to be surprised that the kingdom of God coexists with the kingdom of darkness in this world. That at the same time, the wheat grows up, but the weeds also grow up. And at some point, everyone will face judgment, but it's not our job to be doing that. And we were encouraged last week to get on with the business of loving people and not judging people. And that's what we're supposed to do, all those around us. But today we're going to be looking at how we are to be people who welcome small beginnings and always expect to see the kingdom displayed. We want to be people who welcome the small beginnings of what the kingdom's at work doing and always be looking out for generous, magnificent displays of the kingdom. So that's what we're going to look at as we look at Matthew 13, starting in verse 31. As you guys turn there, would you just bow your heads with me and we will pray. Lord, we welcome your presence. We're thankful, God, that you've brought us here today. We thank you for your love that is so extravagant and so generous. We're so grateful, God, that you accept us as we are. And you welcome us into your kingdom. You welcome us into your family. And today, as we gather as your church, I pray that you will bless every heart that's here. You'll speak to our lives and encourage us. Bring your joy, bring your peace, bring your fulfillment, and bring your power today. The kingdom of God, come here today, we ask, just as it is in heaven, right here in this place. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we are in Matthew 13, and we're looking at these parables, which are really simple stories. They're simple stories about everyday, ordinary things. Jesus used these. He loved to speak in parables, talking about birds and animals, rocks, growing things, farming, and kings, and all sorts of different ordinary things that were all around the people that he was speaking to. And in teaching these parables, he spoke profound truths, spiritual truths that were wrapped up coming alongside stories. He loved to speak in the stories because we thrive on stories. Stories are memorable. But while he told the stories, he also had this spiritual truth that came alongside, kind of like on two tracks, parallel tracks along the side. And some people everybody heard the story, but not everybody could see the point. And we're going to examine this a little bit today, looking at these two short parables, starting in Matthew 13, verse 31. If you have it, you can turn to it, or it's going to be on the screens too. Here is another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make nests in its branches. Jesus also used this illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. So in the parables of Matthew 13, Jesus essentially is teaching the fundamentals of the kingdom of God. He's showing us what the kingdom looks like. And really, his hearers, the people who are listening, the first century group in Galilee, they were being re-educated by Jesus to look for the kingdom in a different way. They were blind. They didn't have eyes to see and ears to hear until Jesus started speaking about this and explaining it. The thing was that the kingdom of God that they were expecting didn't look anything like what Jesus was talking about. The things he taught about, how he displayed it, it didn't look anything like it. And they were tempted to ask, I'm sure, as we see throughout the Gospels, many of them were asking, is this really the kingdom? Is this really the Messiah? Is this the Son of God? They weren't really sure. You know, they were tempted not to believe that the kingdom had actually come. And likewise today, if we miss these basic truths, if we miss this basic stuff, we can miss the kingdom too. And so in these two parables, Jesus uses a picture of the mustard seed, which he said the kingdom is like a mustard seed planted in a field. And the mustard seed was very small, probably the smallest seed that they would have been aware of at that time. They would have known about it because mustard seeds or mustard trees were all over the place in this area. Even though it was small, it would grow into a large shrub, kind of like a big bush, about 4 to 6 feet tall. But sometimes in right conditions, it could grow even bigger, 10, 15 feet tall. And, you know, Jesus says, you know, even the birds could nest in that. So sometimes, you know, from a very small seed, this could grow very large. And he also mentioned the yeast. He said the kingdom of God is like leaven or yeast that a woman used in making bread. And for thousands of years, yeast was used. It ferments and it helps the dough rise. The picture here that Jesus is painting is of a Galilean woman who is making bread with the yeast. She uses a tiny amount, but actually what she's making, even though it's a tiny amount, it feeds like 100 people. This is about the same measurements that he's expressing here. And everyone in the audience would have immediately identified with what Jesus is talking about. These were everyday, ordinary examples. They probably could look around this near the Sea of Galilee and see a mustard tree. They probably had bread in their belongings because there was no Casey's anywhere close that they could just run and get a pizza. So they had to carry their food with them, right? So they probably had bread in their bags and what they were carrying. And Jesus had their attention. They started to get the picture. They started to see snapshots of the kingdom. And they started to see it. Now, last week we saw how Jesus used 2 different parables, saying 2 different things, but meaning the same thing. And he uses the same strategy in this passage right here. He uses 2 different parables that essentially he's trying to teach the same thing. He's repeating himself. And anytime Jesus repeats himself, it's important for us to really take notice because he's trying to tell us something. So what is he trying to convey here? I think there's 2 things. First of all, he's telling us to welcome small beginnings. Like, embrace small beginnings. The kingdom Jesus was bringing was radically different than what the Jews expected. They anticipated that God was going to vindicate them, that he would come in and crush the Romans, just squash them. I mean, that's the kingdom that they anticipated. They wanted to have the temple restored. They wanted to have the peace and prosperity of, you know, that the prophets had spoken about throughout their scriptures. That's what they were looking for. And what Jesus was speaking about was quite different. Very different, actually. In their worldly values, they didn't want a small beginning. They weren't real excited about this small beginning. They began to wonder, what does Jesus have to offer? You know, if this is the Messiah, you know, why isn't there a shock and awe campaign happening here where the Romans are turned over and sent packing? The Jews wanted an undeniable and unequivocal inauguration of God's kingdom. They wanted to see it come in all its fullness right then. But who Jesus was and what he preached was quite different and quite unexpected. In fact, Jesus was rejected by those who were in authority, the religious leaders. He was rejected by them, turned away. Instead, he was welcomed by the dregs of society, the tax collectors, the sinners, the unclean. They loved him, and this really honked off the religious leaders. But Jesus looked more like a deluded dreamer. He wasn't, you know, than he did a Messiah. He looked like he didn't really know what he was doing to the people who thought they knew what they were doing. But Jesus preached the presence of the kingdom, even though it seemed like the world hadn't changed a bit. He kept preaching about the kingdom was here. In reality, though, it actually was here. When Jesus came, he turned their world upside down, their systems and the values. And he said, the kingdom is here. But instead of you know, invading the politics and the governmental structures of the day, he invaded the kingdom of darkness. He invaded the sin. He restored people. He brought a new creation to them, one life at a time. It wasn't top down. It was bottom up. Jesus came bottom up to serve, one life at a time, forgiving, healing, meeting desperate, broken people right in their point of need. And he went around doing good. He helped those who were oppressed by the devil. He restored God's good creation with one act of love and mercy and kindness, one life at a time. In fact, he loved his enemies and he welcomed the oppressed. He welcomed children. He welcomed women. He restored the marginalized. He encouraged the hopeless. He delivered those who were oppressed, that were demonized. And he taught people how to live under the rule and reign of God's kingdom. And what he taught was completely opposite, very radically different. He said, you want to be great? Good. Become a servant. Like you want to have a great life? Well, here's how you do it. You lose the life you have. You want to be blessed? Give away everything you have. Do you want to be free? Well, turn the other cheek. The pomp and glory and splendor of worldly kingdoms and royalty were subverted by Jesus' countercultural message. And the coming of the kingdom was at first small and insignificant. It was truly a small beginning, almost imperceptible. In fact, it looked like it was all lost when Jesus was killed on the cross, right? He died, he was put in a tomb, and it looked like everything was gone. But 3 days later, he rose again, and we see in Scripture that he actually ascended to heaven. And so in doing so, we see the kingdom grew slowly, had small beginnings. Pentecost, we see 3,000 new seeds come to life. A short time later, we see 2,000. In the book of Acts, over and over and over again, we see that the kingdom keeps growing. In Acts 5, it says, yet more and more people believed and were brought to the Lord, crowds of both men and women. In Acts 6, verse 7, it says, so God's message continued to spread. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem. In Acts 9, 31, it says, the church then had peace throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and it became stronger as the believers lived in the fear of the Lord. And with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, it also grew in numbers. And then in Acts 16, verse 5, it says, so the churches were strengthened in their faith and grew larger every day. And we see that from Acts, which is the history of the early church, we go into all of church history where the gospel has been proclaimed around the world everywhere. It just keeps spreading. We welcome small beginnings. Now, in this month of June here, on Monday nights, I've been teaching a beginning guitar class. There have been about 12 people in the beginning guitar class, and I've done that for a long time. But when you learn guitar and you've never played before, it requires small beginnings. You can't just get up there and jam, blaze away. You learn this quickly, right, when you're learning the guitar. In fact, our first night is, you know, we do get to play at least one chord, but we're also learning how to hold the instrument. We're learning, you know, what the different parts are. We're navigating that whole thing. It takes small, bite-sized chunks to learn how to play. And ultimately, now we're 4 weeks in, they know four chords. They know a couple songs. They can play Achy Breaky Heart, and it's, like, amazing. You know, Achy Breaky Heart has two chords in it, the whole song, two chords that alternate. Millions and millions of dollars made on two chords. I'm not bitter. But they can do that. There's other songs too. The point is, it starts with small beginnings. In fact, you know, when you're first starting to put your fingers on the strings, you sometimes have to take your right hand and move fingers where they want to go, because the left hand is sinful. It's rebellious, and it doesn't do what you want it to do when, you know, it doesn't speak, you know, to the fingers. Similarly, participating in kingdom work can feel a lot like starting to learn the guitar for the first time. Awkward, uncomfortable, painful. You don't know if you're going to see any progress, but you keep at it. Little by little, you sow a small seed. You take a little part. You know, you share the kingdom with somebody. Just a small little thing. It's all it takes. And you develop eyes to see, and you get to hear God's voice more and more as you press in. You just keep at it, and soon you see the kingdom in bigger chunks. It starts with those small beginnings. So we welcome small beginnings. Secondly, we want to always be expecting to see displays of God's kingdom come. We believe that God's kingdom has come, that Jesus came and proclaimed it. And just as the mustard seed grows and the yeast works through all the dough, we should be expecting the kingdom to advance. It's not stuck. It's advancing even right now. It's here. And in our everyday, ordinary lives, we should be expecting evidence of God's kingdom breaking in to where we work, where we live, where we play, where we shop, in all the places that we do life. The kingdom has come. We use this language of the kingdom has come, but it is still coming, right? This is, we know that the kingdom is here, but it's not fully here. It's delayed. This is language that Vineyard theologian Derek Morphew uses, that the kingdom is here, but it's also delayed. It has come, but it is still coming. It's not fully here. It's resisted and rejected, and we see that it's the already and the not yet coexisting in this time. And in the meantime, it's growing. Like the yeast in the bread, it's working its way through every pocket of life. We see it growing and wherever God's people are. We should expect to see it. We should be hopeful. We should be anticipating God's kingdom to break into the already, even though we know that truly it's up to his sovereignty to do it in the right way at the right time, his timing. And so we plant water, but God provides the increase. We plant, we water, he makes it grow. You know, we can't on our own restore relationships or to heal marriages or, bring physical healing. But God can. He can do those things. It's up to us to take our little tiny seed and step into it and then let that grow in our lives. And so we can love, we can extend mercy, we can speak truth, we can point people to Jesus, who is the one who can do all things. And we're expecting to see God's kingdom break in at any moment. We know the kingdom isn't here fully, but it will be someday. And for now, the two kingdoms coexist. Just like that parable that we talked about last week, the weed and the weeds, it grows together. At one point, we'll see very clearly God's kingdom. But in the meantime, it grows up together. All of the blessings of the future kingdom age are going to come one day. And we look for that. We anticipate it. We expect it. But at the same time, we know it's not fully here. And so we experience, as God's people, we experience victory, but we also know the bitterness of defeat, right? We can be filled with joy, but we're not immune to experiencing sorrow in our lives. We are successful, we succeed in many areas, but we also can fail. We have life, we experience death at the same time. We have peace and blessing, but pain and suffering too. So it's a both and, the both and of God's kingdom in the already and the not yet. We see the kingdom come, and we expect it to come as God's people are empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak the words of Jesus, do the works of Jesus, and live lives that are fully surrendered to Jesus. We want to be that kind of people, walking out the kingdom. And then we see it grow, right? We see it grow with those little, small beginnings. This is one of the reasons why we have participated in this kindness outreach stuff since even before we launched the church in 2010. In the summer of 2010, we began the church in September of 2010, but in the summer, July 4th, we passed out water at Pell's Park. Dee Dee talked about it in the announcements earlier. passed out water at Pell's Park on July 4th, and we've done it every summer since then, and in that time, we've given over 5,000 bottles of water away for free. It doesn't cost, that's something to celebrate for sure. It doesn't cost us much money to do that, but to see people's faces when you're giving them something for free and they want to give a donation, and we don't take donations. We don't take a donation. We're just trying to give, show God's love in a practical way with no strings attached. That's what it's really about. We're not even trying to get them to come to the church. We would love for them to come to the church, but the whole point is for us to just express the love of Jesus like a small mustard seed. We're planting those seeds and just helping people, and we let the Holy Spirit do the work of bringing them into the kingdom. And, 4 years ago, we started doing free face painting at the same time while we're giving away water, we're doing free face painting, which, is a fundraiser for a lot of groups. But for us, we're just makeup's cheap, and the kids love it. Even if you're a terrible artist, the kids love it. Like, they just want to get their face totally messed up. They love it. And it's perfect because the parents are standing there too while we're painting faces. So we can have great conversations. We can sow seeds. We can just tell people about Jesus if it's led that way. Or we can talk about the Bears or the Cubs, right, Bob? Some people like the Cardinals too. That's okay. We can have these conversations and connect with people in just joyous ways. And so we welcome you to be part of this. Come out this Tuesday. We have a community worship service starting at 9:30. Part of our team is going to be leading worship that Sunday, that Tuesday at 9:30 for the service. But then from 11 to 2, we're going to be face painting. We're going to be giving away water. We're going to be praying for people too as God leads them to us. We want to, we believe that God can break in at any point. And perhaps a small beginning that we welcome will be a door that opens us up to see God's kingdom on display. So you can sign up on that clipboard that's out there on the table if you want to sign up for a time. Just come on out, or just don't sign up. Be rebellious and just come on out anyway. But this is important. This is vital for us because, many people, including Christians, look at the world and we see it getting worse, right? We look at the world and we see that it seems like it's on fire, like a big dumpster fire. It's burning. But I look at the world and I see the kingdom advancing and expanding. Because the things that we're seeing, the things that are growing worse is because the kingdom is advancing and has been advancing for 2,000 years. The things we're seeing is because the kingdom of God is moving throughout people's lives and it's going around the world. And what we're seeing is pushback from the enemy because he knows his time is short. He knows Jesus will return one day. And his rule and reign, the influence he has, the power he has right now, will be forever defeated. He won't enjoy that anymore, and he knows it. And so we anticipate that we will experience persecution. We will experience pushback as God's kingdom grows and expands and moves throughout the world. And we're part of that because all those small beginnings add up. Yours, 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 yours. They all add up. And over thousands of years with billions of believers who are sowing seeds as well, it all adds up. And it's moving, just like the mustard seed growing and just like the yeast working its way through the dough. The kingdom is working its way and bringing the kingdom of God more and more every day. And so, yes, the world is very, very broken. Absolutely. You only have to get online or watch TV and just know there's so much going on. Even in our backyard here with, the Chinese student who was abducted and presumed dead now. Like in our own backyard. If you don't know that evil, if you're still not sure that evil exists, I mean, that's just one piece of evidence. The enemy is not happy. And we should not be surprised when we see that. The injustice and the division and the wars. It's what we expect when the kingdom is present. There's going to be pushback. But the kingdom is advancing and we have a part to play. He wants us to participate. Jesus wants us to get in the game. He doesn't want us sitting on the sidelines. He wants us to be people who have eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart that is moved to action. And so he wants us to be participants in his mission here on earth. And so we welcome the small beginnings. We contribute in any way we can. You know, what do we have to give? What are the things that only you can do? Jump in on it. And then we look for the kingdom to make itself known. And in doing so, we can bring the light of Jesus to a world that hungers for the hope that only he can give.